second, and last verse.
Yeah.
give us a good place to come, come to worship him, spend some time in prayer this evening, and here to preach the word of the Lord. So just pray for the service, pray for our pastor this evening. That the Lord would use him and prepare our hearts to receive that which is given. And been enjoying this series about the scarlet thread of redemption. You know, it's one of those things where it's one of the many proofs of the reality that the Bible is God's word. When we go all the way back to the beginning, over all those generations of various human instruments that God used as authors, and we see the unity of the message.
Yeah.
It doesn't change from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Right. You've got these modern folks that want to say, well, you know, the God of the Old Testament was vengeful and he was mean to everybody and all that. Then you get to the New Testament, God's loving and kind and all that. But, you know, God doesn't change. But mankind, you know, he has brought us through a stage of learning, just like what the Bible says, that the law was the schoolmaster to bring us to the day of grace. That's the way we do with our own youngins. When they're little kids, you want them. When they get older, that's not how you deal with your kids. I mean, you know, I ain't going to say it ain't never been done, but, you know, typically, that's not how you instruct your adult children, is it? I mean, Miss Terry, when was the last time you gave Lynn a good woman? I mean, you know?
Not very long.
Because one's here or not, they might be listening. I will whoop them when they're in the boat.
All right. That's what I'm saying. I ain't going to say it ain't never been done. You don't have to whoop preachers coming too much, do you? But, you know, and that's what the Bible teaches us. Huh? But that's what the Bible teaches us, is that God deals with us as with his children. And as mankind has come along, you know, the Lord may deal with us in a slightly different way, but that doesn't change his nature at all.
Right.
It also doesn't change the truth. It doesn't change what's right and wrong. It doesn't change the penalty for sin. He just paid it for us.
Amen.
You know, so, you know, it's good to see that unity in the scriptures and have that brought out. I've been enjoying that and appreciating that. So, just pray for the service this evening. Who's got a request for prayer? I'll look to him. Amen. Amen. Remember all these. Remember Mama, if you would. I was just talking to Dad yesterday. You know, he was talking about how, you know, she's been pretty well able to keep up with the house and stuff because she has good days and bad days, and she'll work a little bit at the top, work a little bit at the top. But then this morning, he ended up taking her to the ER because she was feeling pretty bad. They said she had some fluid on her lungs, and that was caused by that atrial fibrillation. But I hadn't got a chance to actually talk to her. He was trying to keep everybody up to date as to what was going on with text. And you know how it is, you go to the ER and you sit there and rot, you know. So they was there all day, but she's home now. But he said they'd given her some kind of medicine. So I don't know if they gave her something for the atrial fibrillation to open and clear up the fluid, or if they gave her something for the fluid and going to wait for a regular doctor for the AFib, or whether it's both. I have no idea. But just pray for Mama, because she's, you know, evidently still struggling. So just pray for Dad there as he tries to take care of her. And I know it probably worries him because he has to go, you know, and work. And but, you know, at the same time, I know Dad understands that God's there to watch over Mama, but at the same time, as a husband, you know, you're going to have that concern. It's just, I mean, that is our nature. Yeah. So just pray about that, if you would. And, you know, whatever us kids need to do to try to help, you know, pray that God help us to have the wisdom and discernment what we need to do, you know, without being pushy or whatever. You know, I mean, y'all know what I mean. So pray for that, if you would. Continue to pray for Jan and her situation. You know, it's still, things are just, I guess, relationally with her and her daughter, things are still pretty rough, I guess. But just pray about that. The Lord would deal with that. The Lord would reach out to her daughter and get a hold of her. Just pray about the housing situation. She talked to the lady down at Bounties at the apartments today, and she didn't just flat say, no, we don't have anything. She said, call me back tomorrow. And who was it? Yeah. Was telling us that, or was it you that, I'm confused. Who told who what? Somebody, word came from your sister that it looked like somebody was moving out of a bigger apartment. And so what? Yeah, so it was a 3-bedroom. And so I think what Jim is hoping is that means somebody's moving up from a smaller apartment, and then that will open something up. I don't know. But just pray that the Lord's will be done there. There have been a few circumstances that have happened just in the past couple of weeks that I was like, see, this would have not been a good situation if Jim had already moved out. So, I mean, I can see the Lord working in it. So just pray that the Lord would continue to shut the wrong doors and open the right ones, and then all that will, you know, work out exactly the way He wants it to. So who else has got a request this evening?
Remember Matthew and, Brandon Hall, they're trying to find a bigger place too, so Luke will have his own bedroom.
Okay.
And everything around there, $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
He's a house right beside my son Matthew. House right beside him for him, $1,600 a month. That person can't afford that.
No.
That's way bigger than a house payment.
Well, now I saw what house payments are. now I saw what house payments are. I just don't understand it. That's what I was telling some of them. Granted, this was in the 90s, but when I was a kid, my grandpa's payment on a log cabin was $800 a month, and I remember us going, how? it was like $800 or $1,000 or something like that. And then now people are like, oh, that would be, that's not, that's a,
He's thinking about ours because we got that 2.2% interest.
Yeah. You start something new now, and it's bad. Mm-hmm. One thing about it is the Lord's getting us in a position where we're all going to have to depend on Him. Ain't none of us going, oh, I got this.
Yeah.
Man, nobody's saying that right now.
Right.
So the Lord is, I think He's working on us.
And so the evil man, you know, just like the Bible says, the Psalm 2, why did he raise the people, imagine the same thing? So the Lord shall laugh.
Yeah.
He says, I have never shall laugh, but how in derision. And so, you know, even their plans, whether successful or not successful, it's still part of his plan.
Yeah.
You know, it's not outside of what he's already determined.
Yeah.
And so he's going to use that for good.
There
in some
go.
Way, for it ain't going to work out for the good for them that don't know him.
Right.
But for those that know him and have been called according to his purpose, it's working toward the good. But then that good is eternal good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes we get confused. And we tend to look at that in a worldly minded way and have expectations of worldliness, but he's got eternal expectations.
Yeah.
And if we have eternal expectations, then we might not see the fruit of it in this life. But we can still trust God's word. When he says that it's working toward the good, even if we don't get to see it, we know that it is. We know that it's affecting, somehow it's affecting eternity, and that God's going to be glorified in it.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I think it might have been you saying the other day, you know, you want to preach this health and wealth stuff, go talk to some of the Christians in China that are having to hide, they're afraid of being killed for the witness of Christ, and, you know, see what they think about that prosperity gospel.
<That's> right.
Who else has got a request this evening?
I'd like to remember Wayne Young, had put him in the hospital last night, and had a blood issue. He gave him blood last night, and half his blood was gone.
Oh,
I said, thank his body quit producing it. And that
well, his iron was so low, he said, it felt like the red blood cells quit producing because he had enough iron. His blood was 5.7. He went and had blood work done, and then they called him and told him to get to the ER immediately, and so they put him in the hospital. He's the meat cutter down here at Honey's.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
John Wilkes. You say John?
Wayne.
Oh, Wayne.
He's the meat cutter down at Honey's.
Okay.
It's Bobby's brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just memory and prayer for him.
Yeah, amen. Now, I didn't catch, did you say whether or not he's improved any since they put him in the hospital? I don't know.
Well, Karen said he was doing a little bit better this morning. I talked to her.
Okay. Amen. Remember this. All right, if that's all there is, that's all I'm afraid.
Pray for our meeting.
Yeah, amen.
Lord, call them into your service and use them, Father, that they be
a brother and sister were no longer living. I pray, God, that you would have a big war fight with Judas also, and your son Jesus in this service here tonight. Lord, that you be with Israel, help them, strengthen them, Lord, as they fight. God, I pray that you let them have peace, Lord, and I pray that you be glorified in you, and so that the whole world may see, Lord, that you're still God, and Lord, that you're still on the throne. There's no power to show. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for allowing us to come and worship tonight. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we ask these things.
Several years, he'd got out of church and he wasn't living right, and he'd died. He
And she said she worried. She worried that he wasn't ever saved, and she worried that he'd died in hell. And I told her, I said, this is my advice to you. I said, I would remember the good memories. And I said, don't put your trust in his works.
Right.
I said, put your trust in the Word of God.
Amen.
I said, the Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I said, the Word of God says, of all that the Father give me, I shall lose none of them. None shall be able to be plucked out of my hand. I said, we can trust the Word of God.
Yeah.
I said, hey, listen, I said, this is the thing. This is what I asked. I said, are you perfect or are you still a sinner? And she said, I'm not perfect. She said, I'm still talking to me too. I said, you're in good company. I said, I could ask you for that. I don't think nobody could answer any different. I said, let me ask you this. I said, does God, other than blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, does God view any sin worse than other? She said, sin is sin. I said, that's exactly right. I said, so what's so different about him and me and you? I said, the things he was doing was evident. The things you and I do were not as evident. I said, the reason is because we want to protect our testimony, right?
Yeah.
It's not because we care about what people think and want to look good for people and keep up with the Joneses and so on and so forth. It's because literally we want to be able to reach people with the gospel.
Yeah.
And we want them to take us serious enough that our words have gravity.
Yeah.
Right? That's the purpose. That's why we live for it. But, you know, I told her this. I said, if you don't mind, I said, I would like to tell that story sometime. And maybe a few times, just to remind people of this.
Yeah.
How important it is that you live for God for this reason. There's lots of reasons. But here's one that I hadn't thought about. Maybe I have, but it's been a while. When you leave this world, there's going to be people that cares about you.
Yeah.
That are Christians.
Yeah.
Don't make them worry about where you're at.
Yeah.
Don't make them worry about your testimony and your profession because of how you live, and because she was just in a very downtrodden, pitiful state. And I don't know her son, but I know this based on what she's told me about it. He didn't tell me his testimony, but based on what she's told me of his testimony, I believe he's saved. Because I believe the Word of God.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what she said about him or what somebody else said about him. I believe the Word of God. I'm not saved because I'm a preacher, because I studied my Bible, because I can pray. I'm saved because the blood of Jesus has washed me from my sins, because I called on his name. I said, Lord, save me. I don't have any other hope. And God saved me because I called on his name. And so I believe the Word of God. But anyways, I don't know why I just felt like I need to say that tonight. I hope it helps somebody. But in any case, has anybody got a song they're going to sing before we get started? Go ahead. Solace, she's always got this look on her face. She's like, thank goodness. She's like, it's about time. She's like, I've been waiting. She's so patient, though.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased.
Amen.
Amen. All right. See if anybody's been trying to follow along. Can anybody guess where we're going tonight? It's in Genesis. It's called the Great Redemption. We just got through. We're looking at the times Jesus appears in the Old Testament. And for the most part, I'll be going in chronological order. We just got through looking last Wednesday night at Melchizedek. And what would be the next thing in line? There's probably about two things in between the thing that we're going to do tonight, but they're not as obvious. But what would be the next obvious thing?
Isaac being sacrificed on Mount.
Genesis 22. Yeah. Good job. Karen, you can hold me here. Let's see, give me 2 points.
Trademark.
Genesis 22. You'll be in Genesis 22 when you have your places, if you would stand. Jay. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. Kind of threw me off there. My Bible's got a misprint, believe it or not. Instead of verse 1, it says verse 2. It's got two verse 2s. If you don't believe me, I'll show you it. It says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with thy ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be said. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Pray, God, that you'd add your blessing to it. God, that you would help us tonight, glean from your word, open our ears and our hearts and our minds, that we would receive it, that you bless the preaching hour, God. I'm useless up here alone by myself. I pray, God, that you would anoint this time. God, that you'd anoint the words that are spoken. May they be your words, not of my own. God, that you be glorified. In the name of your Son, Jesus, be exalted. It's in his name alone that we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. First of all, notice something here. In verse number one, whatever you want to call it here, that really threw me off. I've never seen that before, and I noticed it. But in any case, verse number one, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now here you might say, I wonder if anybody might do this for one of the contradictions in the Word of God. With using, you know, verse like this, and there's other places too that you'll find in the Old Testament. And, you know, we have in the New Testament, it's written in the book of James, that let no man say when he is tempted of the Lord. For God is not tempted any man at any time, for he is not capable of tempting any man with evil. This is the simple sort of answer to that, is this difference between Hebrew and Greek language. Okay? Whenever it's talking about that God does not tempt anyone, it's talking about that he does literally not dangle something in front of your face, trying to get you to fall for it. That is a trap. That is the kind of things that Satan does.
Yeah.
And that is not the nature of God. Here, this word in the Hebrew means to try, like in a furnace. If you was to take a piece of metal and you try it in the furnace, like silver or gold, you would melt it down. And you would put it through that fire, and you would take and you would scrape off the top of it. You'd get the slack, they call it the slag, off the top, and it's got all the trash and everything in it.
Yeah.
And then once you got it, you'd pour it out, you'd cast it, and you might put it through the fire again. And you'd do this up to, you know, how many ever times. A lot of times they'd say that silver, to get its purest form, would have to be tried 7 times in a furnace. And they put it through these trials, and they put it through this testing, they called it, and it would get rid of the impurities, and it would make it more pure, and it would make it more whole in the intention that it was supposed to be. And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about a trial. It's talking about a trial that he's going through. And it said that God put him through a trial. That's what it's talking about when it says that he was tempted there of God. And he said, he called unto Abraham, and Abraham answered and said, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. He said, Abraham, I want you to take your son. And he said, I'm not talking about that one that's not your son that I never intended. He said, I'm not talking about Ishmael. He said, that wasn't your son. He was put away from Abraham. The reason being is because that Abraham and his wife both had went against the wishes of God. And, you know, even as much as the Bible talks about the faith that Abraham had and the faith that Sarah had to trust God, that whenever he was 100 years old and she was 90, that they was pregnant with Isaac. But before that, there was a time when even their faith was a little bit short, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so remember that next time you seem like you ain't got the faith you ought to have. But even Abraham, who seemed to have more faith than just about anybody, said that by faith that Abraham left the land of his fathers. It's by faith that Abraham believed that he'd be given a son. And it's by faith that he was able to take him up here on this mountain to be willing to give sacrifice. It's by faith that he believed, the Bible says, that even if he took his life that day, that God was able to raise him up again. And so it was by faith that he trusted him. But before he ever got to this point, Abraham had went through some trials, didn't he? Abraham had also, at a point in time, he was so scared of the Egyptians that he told them to take his wife. And he said, just do what you want to, just leave me alone. He said, honey, don't tell them a thing. He said, because he's scared for his own hide. That's what it was. And he said, well, where was his faith then? But then we see the Bible talks about how great a faith that he had. And he did. He had a great faith, but he was still just a man.
Yeah.
But now, when it says here, take thy son, thine only son, this is the son that God had given him. This is the son that God said, this is the one that's going to be the heir. This is the one I'll make my covenant with. This is the one that's going to give birth to another son, who will give birth to another son, who will give birth to another son. And he said, and I promise you one day, Abraham, that your seed is going to be greater than the sand on the seashore. He said, it'll be without number, and it's going to be through this one, this son. And Abraham trusted the word of God. Abraham trusted God, and
his word. He said, take thou your son, your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. He's reminding him. He said, I'm talking about the one that you love. He says, when I ask this of you, Abraham, he said, I am under no delusion whatsoever that this is not something that is precious to you. Let me ask you something. Don't think that God just wants out of your life those things that you're willing to give up. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
When God asks you to give up something, he understands what it means to you.
Yeah.
When God asks you to do something for him, he understands how difficult of a task that is for you to do. When God asks something of you, he understands how much of a problem it's going to be for you to fully submit to that request.
Yeah.
He says, take thou thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. He says, Abraham, I understand that this is not going to be easy for you. How many times do we know God wants us to do something, but we excuse ourselves because we say, well, the Lord will forgive me because he knows that's just too hard for me to do. Has he ever asked you to do anything like this? Mm-hmm. Not me. Ooh, thank God.
Yeah.
I ain't been put through enough trials yet to have that kind of faith, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest. I'm the leader of the church, supposed to be. And I'm being honest with you, I ain't got that kind of faith. Mm-hmm. If the Lord, I'm going to be honest with you, if the Lord spoke to me from heaven, I heard a voice, all of me, and told me to hurt one of my children, I don't think I can do it. You say, well, I could. Well, I wouldn't say that.
Amen.
I'd be too afraid that it might happen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Then you'd be put to the test. All I'm saying is that Abraham at this point, he had faith that God had said, Abraham, I understand this is not going to be easy for you.
Yeah.
But I want you to trust me. Now, in times past, Abraham had realized at this point that he never went wrong trusting God. Ain't God done some things in your life and let you go through some trials that you've learned that you can trust God?
Yeah.
They might be something in your life right now that you feel like the Lord wants you to do. You say, well, that's just too hard. I don't know how I could ever make it. I don't know how I could ever get by. I don't know how that I could overcome and do this thing or that. Hey, God already knows how difficult of a trial it is for you, but he also knows how much he's going to bless you for your obedience. Amen? And that's the part that we don't know. We might just see all the difficulty and the problem it's going to present, but we don't understand yet the blessing that we're going to receive. I didn't read it just yet, but if you'll read over here just a little bit further in verse number 15, there's a blessing that came to Abraham because he made God in him.
Amen.
He went ahead and he went through with that difficult task, and guess what? It didn't cost him as much as he thought it would, did it? Amen? And it never does. It don't cost you what you think it's going to cost you. Matter of fact, come to find out, the things we think we have to give up is going to cost us something all the time. It turns out it was being a blessing in the end if God says do it.
Yeah.
Amen. And so he tells Abraham, it's like I said, we're looking at the times Jesus would be here. But like I said, as we're going through these verses and these stories, I don't want to miss anything, leave anything in turn. So we're talking about, we're preaching on these things. He says this, Abraham rose up early in the morning, verse 3. He saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son. And he claimed the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, went to the place where God told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Notice this. He tells me, he says, me and the boys going there to worship.
Yeah.
And we're coming back.
Amen. Yeah.
He trusted that God was going to either. Now the Bible says that he believed that even if he took his life, God was able to raise him up.
Yeah.
But I believe that Abraham, just as much as he believed that, I believe he also believed that God was going to put a substitution in there. Because he tells his son, he says, that as they're going up, he says in verse number 7, he says that they went up. And it says in verse number 7 that Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb?
burnt offering. As they're going up the mount, his son says, Dad, we've got the wood. He says, we've got the fire. He says, but where is the lamb that we're going to give for an offering? And Abraham looks at his son here in verse number 8, and he says, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.
Yeah.
God will provide himself a lamb.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I want to say this, though. The same lamb that was given by little old Abel there in the garden, I believe it's the same lamb that Abraham was looking for God to provide. I believe that he had every bit of hope in his body that God was going to provide a substitution. I believe when the Bible says it, because the Bible says it, I know it's true. I know that Abraham believed that God was able to raise his son up if he killed him. But I believe he didn't even want to have to go through that.
Yeah.
I believe that he is hoping that he wouldn't have to put that knife through the chest of his only son. I believe he is hoping that he wouldn't have to live the rest of his life with his son remembering that time and thinking about that time when Daddy done that thing to him. I believe with all my heart that Abraham was hoping with everything in him that God was going to send a substitution. He said, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. The Bible says in John chapter 8, it says this. We read this here the other week. It's good. We'll read it again.
Amen.
John chapter 8. Good, great chapter here. Let's summarize a little bit. Verse 34, Jesus says this. Or verse 32, or what else? Let me back up. Verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Says they've never been, we've never been slaves or men of bondage. Jesus said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. The Son shall make you, therefore make you free, and shall be free indeed. He goes on to tell them that they are not the seed of Abraham, as they claim to be, that they are their father, the devil. Because the devil is a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. It means it's his own language.
Yeah.
And he goes on to tell them that they can't convince, they can't prove that he's ever sinned, because obviously he's the Messiah. So which of you convinced me of sin? He said, have you ever seen me do anything wrong? But yet you don't believe me whenever I tell you. He said, he that is of God, hear of God's words. And he says, they said, say we not, verse 48. They said, say we not well, thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil. Verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. He said, I seek not mine own glory, there is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. The Jews are growing upset with him because he's calling them out for their own sin.
Yeah.
They're trying to prove him as being the one that's wrong, and here he is giving them the truth. They don't like it. That's the way of the flesh. You don't like the truth. And he goes right here in verse number 51 to tell them that if a man keeps his saying, he shall never see death. Now look at what they say in verse 52 of John chapter 8. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Look at what he says in verse 56.
Yeah.
Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
Amen.
Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And when I read that, it just gives me cold chills.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It's just so epic, if you will. But whenever Abraham is here in Genesis 22, and whenever he's there at verse number 8, And he says, my God, or he says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I believe that's exactly one of the moments Jesus was talking about when he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Yeah. Abraham was hoping and looking forward and a joy in seeing the day when God would substitute in a lamb. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. Isaac, he's probably a good boy. No, he was a good boy. My gosh, what kind of young man's going to let his daddy tie him up and lay him down there on the altar? Hey, this boy, he trusted his daddy. He was following the leadership of his daddy, and he trusted. He's a good youngin', but I tell you, he wasn't a perfect youngin'. Because nobody is. The Bible says all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Hey, make no mistake about it. Isaac deserved death that day, the same as Abraham did, the same as you and I do, and every person that's ever lived, because we've all fell short of his glory. We've all let God down. We've all failed him in the law. We've all known better than to live and to do and to speak the ways that we do. And we go on and do it anyway. Yeah. And we all deserve to be laying down there with that knife drove through us. And we all ought to have to pay for our own sin. But guess what? Praise be to God that he loves us enough that he substituted in a sacrifice. And he provided himself a perfect sacrifice. And I want to say this, that whenever that angel called out to Abraham, let's read it. He says they came to the place in verse 9 which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid up the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. I don't know what kind of tone he had in his voice. But I believe in me is like it's right here. And he said, Abraham, Abraham. I believe he said, here am I.
Yeah.
I believe he knew.
Yeah.
I don't know. He didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but he knew something was about to happen.
Yeah. The
Bible says he rejoiced to see my day, Jesus.
Yeah. Yes.
And he says this. He said, and he said, verse 12, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Now I believe at this point, this is the point when Jesus said, first of all, he said, he rejoiced to see my day. And then it said, and he saw it.
Yeah.
And was glad.
Amen.
You say, well, when did he see Jesus? I believe this is when he seen it.
Yeah.
He seen that God had provided himself a sacrifice. One that was hung up there. Had its horns hung in a thicket. You know, I can think of another sacrifice that's given that had a little bit of thicket on its head.
Yeah.
Jesus, they made that crown of thorns and drove them down with his head.
Yeah.
We see here, whenever this ram there says, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. In the stead of his son.
Amen.
You know, people don't understand why that these Jews and why Muslims or any of them would offer a sacrifice. You know, they don't understand that. The reason for it, Judaism specifically, is because it's not just that their God likes to see something die, but it's because there has to be sacrifice.
Amen.
There has to be bloodshed. The innocent paying for the sins of the guilty. Do you know this? That every culture around the world, every ancient civilization in South America, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas, you look at the ancient peoples of Sumeria, you look at the ancient peoples in all over Africa and Asia, and on these islands, and anywhere where we can date history back far enough, you will find that civilizations of ancient, many of them still today, at one point in time or another, believed in blood sacrifice.
Yeah.
Every civilization in the world. Why is that? Because they believed it was required to appease the gods.
Yeah.
Now the Bible says in Romans 1 that the visible things of him are clearly seen.
Yeah.
Even from the creation. And so they might not have been worshiping the God, but they knew they was a God.
Yeah.
They didn't know him, but they knew of him.
Yeah.
There's still plenty of people like that out there today.
Yes. Yeah.
They know of him, but they don't know him. Unfortunately, there's probably people in Baptist church pews that know of him, but they don't know him. There's people in your community that'll tell you, you know, well, you know, I went to church when I was young or whatever the case may be. And I don't know, only them and the Lord knows. And like I said, if they claim to know the Lord and they believe in the name of Jesus, then they might very well be saved. I don't know, they might be living an awful backslid life. But I know this, that the Bible says that we judge someone according to their fruits.
Yeah.
And if they're living a life like they're lost, then we give them the gospel, amen?
Yeah.
That's what we're called to do.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do. But in any case, everybody around the world, every civilization, every culture, no matter what, at some point in time has understood that it required blood sacrifice.
Amen.
They understood that.
Yeah.
Like I said, they don't understand that. People don't understand that today, it doesn't seem like, because we're living in a different time, a different generation. But it's not just the simple fact that there's a God that likes to see things die and suffer, but it's that there's a holy God who requires perfection.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no sin that'll enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Not one bit. And so whenever there was a sacrifice made, it was made and the blood was shed. Why? To pay for the sins of the one who's doing the sacrifice.
Yeah.
But here we see that there was one that was given in his stead. And that was Jesus. Jesus was given in my stead. He was given in your stead.
Amen.
When he died on Calvary, he didn't just cover our sins. He did. He also washed them away. Understand this. Let me put it to you this way. Anybody know anybody that's a thief? You're all blessed. I know lots of thieves. Anyways, I know thieves. I'm good to them. I love them. I try to witness to them. But I don't let them in my house. Amen?
Yeah.
And I take certain precautions with them. And I know that they're thieves, which I'm able to overlook. And I'm able to forgive them of things that they've done. Even people that stole from me, I forgive them. And I'm still good to them, and I try to love them because I want to see them saved.
Yeah.
But I'm still careful about where I live because they don't come to my house.
Yeah.
When God saved me, he didn't just overlook what I'd done.
Yeah.
He didn't just forgive me of what I'd done. It went away.
Yeah. Amen.
It went away. Because there's no sin going in heaven. There's no thieves coming in my house.
Yeah.
And there's no sin going into heaven.
Yeah,
and so the only way that once thief would come in my house is if somehow, in some way, I had completely forgotten about all of his thieving ways, and they were completely removed from him, and he was able to present himself, somebody that didn't look like a thief, or act like a thief, or smell like a thief, but he looked like somebody that I wanted to come on in and fellowship with me a while, and praise God when the blood of Jesus was applied. There was one that died in his stead. That's what happened for me.
Yeah.
Whenever Jesus died on that cross, and he called to me. Wasn't with no audible voice. It wasn't with no signs and wonders. There wasn't no beams that shone down out of heaven. But there's a still, small voice. There's just a little call in my heart. Lord, show me I was lost. And I needed I needed something I didn't have. I was going to die one day, and I knew it. And I thought then it might be sooner than later. And I know if I died, I'd surely have to pay for all I've done. And I'm dying to go to heaven. But then he said, son, I've done something for you, though. I don't know how. I'd been in church my whole life, and I'd never understood the gospel. But I understood it that day. I understood it that day.
Amen.
God, he called me to himself. And I promise you this, life didn't get easy. Life didn't get, quote unquote, better. It didn't wage it. I had peace. But I never made no more money. My bills ain't always been paid on time. Matter of fact, I probably got sicker more often and had to fight more battles. But you know what? I wouldn't take it back for nothing.
Right, amen.
Because how sweet it's been.
Yeah.
How sweet it's been. I know where I'm going, amen. And singing that song, what was that second song we sang tonight?
Eastern Gate.
Eastern Gate, how's that going?
I'll meet you in the morning just inside Eastern Gate.
I'll meet you in the morning just inside Eastern Gate. Okay. We're given some descriptions of heaven. None of it goes in detail.
Right.
But I know we're going to eat.
Yeah.
I like to eat.
Yeah.
The only problem is it affects my waistline. I bet up there I can eat all the Krispy Kreme donuts I want. They probably got one of them conveyor belts just to pull them things out. I don't know. You say, well, that's crazy. Well, don't say it don't. It don't tell you. You know? All I know is this. I'm going to be happy over there.
Yeah, amen.
I know this. I ain't going to have to deal with the, oh, woes this world's got to offer no more. Yeah. I'll never get a bill in the mail again. I won't ever have to worry about it. Amen. I'm getting the inheritance that God's got. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to rule and reign beside my Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He said, I no more call you servants, but friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. I thank God for what he done on for me with Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. Whenever he substituted Jesus for me, I realized what I'd done. I realized what it was I was worthy of. I looked over my shoulder and I seen a ram with its horns hung in the bushes, ready to be offered.
Yeah.
There at that cross. Before that cross that night, he said, truly, Lord, is this my cup to bear? He said, let it not be my will, but thine. His will.
Yeah. Amen.
He saw my sin. He saw my filthiness. And he's willing to go die for me instead. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. As I pray, if the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, you need to come to this altar. For any reason, please come. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for its encouraging, convicting power in my life. I pray, God, that you would be of encouragement and conviction from your word to each and every one of us here tonight. Help us to draw closer to you to grow. Lord, help us to retain what we've heard and let it, Lord, just be something that's in our minds, God, that we might be able to remember what you've done for us. I pray that there wouldn't be a minute that goes by of our day that we're not willing to just breathe thank yous and gratitude towards you for what you've done. How quick we are, me especially, to forget what I've been forgiven of and what all you've done for me. Lord, I pray that you give us a heart of gratitude. Remind us of where we were and what we deserved, what we still deserve, and the grace that you give us every day. May you be glorified in our hearts and minds. We just thank you so much tonight for all that you've done, all that you do, and all that you're going to do. Lord, it's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen. If all hearts and minds are clear here, let me go.